It suddenly came to me that if I could make Rose take her coat off, we could join in the pursuit as if we had no connection with the bear. So I struggled out of my own coat, flung it up into the van, and started after her. But before I had gone a couple of yards, the beam of a torch shone out. I saw Rose clearly. She had got beyond the end of the platform and was scrambling up the little embankment, and as she was on all fours, she really did look exactly like a bear. There was a wild shout from the people on the platform. Rose topped the embankment and disappeared over into the fields.
"Foxhurst Farm's over there!" shouted a woman. "They've got three little children!"
There was a thump as someone jumped down onto the line. Then Stephen crossed the beam of the torch. The light gleamed on metal, and I realized that he was carrying a pitchfork.
"Stop, Stephen, stop!"
I screamed. He turned and shouted,
"I won't hurt it unless I have to, Miss Cassandra. I'll head it into a barn."
Neil Cotton went past me.
"Here, give me that,"
he said, grabbing Stephen's pitchfork. Simon came running along, shooting his torch ahead of him. The guard and some of the passengers came pounding after him, and somebody crashed into me and knocked me over. Perhaps I ought to have explained at once, but what with the noise and being knocked down, I was a bit dazed, and I knew how ghastly it would be for Rose, not only the Cottons knowing, but all the local people on the train, and I did think she had a good chance to get away. "Anyway, Neil will see she's not a bear if he gets close to her," I told myself. Then they all came thudding past with the lanterns, and the station master had his great black dog on a chain and a stone in his hand. I knew it wasn't safe to keep quiet any longer. I started to tell them, but the dog was barking so loudly that nobody heard me, and then, high above everything, I heard the most piercing shriek. I lost my head completely.
"It's my sister!" I screamed. "He's killing her!"
And I dashed off along the line. They all came after me, shouting, and someone fell over the dog's chain and cursed extensively. We climbed over the embankment into the field, and the men held the lanterns high, but we couldn't see Rose or the Cottons or Stephen. And then I saw something white in the distance. The men with the lanterns saw it too and ran towards it. And suddenly, Neil Cotton walked into the light, carrying Rose in just her suit. Simon Cotton and Stephen were a few steps behind.
"Stand back, please," said Neil Cotton firmly. "She's had a dreadful shock."
"Rose, Rose," I cried, running to her. "She's all right," said Simon Cotton quickly, "but we want to get her to our car." He grabbed one of the lanterns, lit the way for Neil, and they walked stolidly on.
"But the bear, sir," said the guard.
"Dead," said Simon Cotton. "My brother killed it."
"Are you sure, sir?" said the station master.
"It fell in the river and was carried away by the current. You go with your sister," Simon Cotton told me, and I was only too glad to.
"Well, it's a rum go," said the station master.
It certainly was a rum go as far as I was concerned.
"What happened, Stephen?"
I asked under my breath. Rose suddenly raised her head and whispered fiercely,
"Shut up! Get the trunks off the train!"
Stephen joined me in the guard's van. Before I could get a word out, he said, "Please, please don't ask me any questions yet, Miss Cassandra." I was throwing the beaver coat and the rug and the jacket out onto the platform. The station master helped us to get the trunks onto Mr. Stebbins' cart. The Cottons' car was only a few yards away, and there was Rose inside it, talking to Mrs. Cotton. Simon Cotton came out of the station and said to me, "We're driving your sister home. Would you like to come too?" But I said I would stay with Stephen. And I couldn't get anything out of Stephen on the way home. All he would say was, "Oh, it was dreadful, dreadful. Miss Rose had better tell you herself."